Podcast, and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
It's not.
Step outside of your comfort zone. See the world with a whole new perspective. Join us and experience the unexplained on the Paranormal View.
And welcome everybody right here to the Paranormal View on the ParaX Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to be with us tonight, those listening in the chat room and those listening from around the world. We appreciate each and every one of you. If you have questions tonight, you can private chat them to Henry Foister or Ceiling Cat, and we will get those over to our guest and get those answered for you. If you are listening from somewhere else around the world, you'd like to come over and join us, it's the para-x.com and click on the chat now button at the top of the page and you'll get in with all these wonderful people. If you have questions and you don't want to come into the chat room, you can still send a question to theparanormalview@gmail.com and we will get that answered for you. So tonight we got a great guest, and as always though, and lots to go over. We have with us Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello.
And Duncan.
I am here.
And anything going on with you two before we introduce our guest?
It's not as roasty today as it was the last few days.
Oh.
It was like over 100 for the last few days.
And Barbara's hanging out up around all the fires, right?
All the smoke.
Yeah, they were showing photos that after so many hours of like no rest, that some of the firefighters, just some of the people who were outside the fire range, let the firemen actually just lay down and sleep and rest on their lawns.
Oh yeah, it's bad. There's fire companies from all over the United States showing up. Hopefully there'll be some a break in it, but there's another fire that just broke out near Yosemite, and Yosemite is pretty much closed down. I don't know if they've reopened it yet or not, but
why was it closed down? Because of the fire? Or because
it's going into Yosemite. It jumped into the Yosemite property. So yeah. And our host on the Paranormal, on the ParaX, up in Reading, he's safe. One of them is, at least. And his co-host, I'm not sure if he knows if his house is there or not. So,
We had some fires down here at one point, and apparently one guy, when he got to the mandatory evacuation, he turned on his sprinklers almost as a, well, you never know. And his was the only property that went undamaged. And they had a big photo of just this scorched earth and this little property with a house just sitting there like, didn't get me.
All right. Why don't you introduce our guest? Because I'm sure we got lots to talk about tonight.
Well, our returning guest tonight is the wonderful Eileen Kosmeskis. In addition to her being the author of several books, including but not limited to The Medium Who Baffled Houdini, Marjorie Crandon. Elaine's background includes but is not limited to over 25 years of teaching psychology and parapsychology at colleges in New England and 12 years as director of the New England School of Metaphysics. And as the FDA would say, Elaine is not a medical doctor. Her book is for informational purposes only, and she'll get into more about that in a second. So welcome back, Elaine Kosmeskis. Yay!
It's so glad to be back. Yes, I always, when I talk about healing with spirit, I always like people to know that I'm not a doctor. I don't diagnose, that if you have a medical or a mental health issue, you should seek professional help. But given that, we could all use a little inspiration and faith in our life, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I always say that if you can't do anything, say the Serenity Prayer of St. Francis. if nothing else, it'll calm you down a little bit and give you a chance to think things through. So I'm a great believer in faith. And my background in mediumship has taught me a lot about spiritual faith and the role of our helping spirits, whether they be beloved grandparents or ascended masters or monks and priests from the past, comes through to inspire us and help us to be healthy body, mind, and spirit. That's why I wrote the book that's coming out in the fall, Healing with Spirit.
Yes, and that's a new book that you have coming out, and we're going to be talking about it and all different aspects of healing with spirit. I do have a question from the chat room. And it's from Coffee for Dessert, and she wanted us to tell you that she loves her ad that we play on the Paranormal View, and she was wondering if you have ever encountered anything dark, you might say.
I wish I could say no, but the truth is we live in a world of good and bad, good and evil. So there is darkness in the world. I have found it kind of links in places you would least expect it. For example, when I did a seance for the play Life Spirit, which was at the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven, the cast were very excited to have a medium come. Because have you ever seen the play Life Spirit?
Yes.
It's a great English play. It's about a medium, and the wife, the deceased wife, comes back and causes all kinds of havoc.
My mother played Madame Arcadi in a production.
How wonderful. I just love that play. I've seen the play, and I've also seen the movie.
Yeah, it's one of the Noel Coward's best.
Well, I thought that would be fun. Yeah. I said, that's great. I'd love to do a seance at the end of Life Spirit. It was opening night. It was maybe three nights in, and it was a Friday night. And the cast are excited. And they did have one request, which was a rather unusual request. They were afraid after the midnight seance that some of the spirits would linger and would be disturbing to them. So my assistant medium, Seal Luanchuk, and I got our heads together. And I said, Seal, we'll just clean the theater before we leave. We'll sage the whole theater. So I called the director back. I said, don't worry. When the seance is over, I will close it with a prayer. And my assistant, Sue, and I, and my husband, Ron, was there. We will sage the whole theater before we leave, and I guarantee there will be no spirits left. Well, it turned out to be a much bigger job than I anticipated, because negative spirits like to linger, and they can be difficult. Not everyone that goes to the theater is in a happy mood. Some people go there because they're depressed. They want to get away from this or that. And we had the hardest time getting the negative spirits out of the corner of the theater. They like to linger in the corner. So it took us a good 2 hours, from 12 to 2 in the morning, to get that theater cleansed of all spirits. So there are spirits in public places that linger. And probably the most deleted spirits are those that are in bars. You have to be very careful, because when someone dies and they are addicted to alcohol, cocaine, or hashish, they still have that addiction when they go over. And sometimes they don't even know they're dead. Can you imagine? So where would you go if you don't know you're dead and you still want to drink? Back to your favorite bar. And I do believe that if you are inebriated, you are leaving yourself open to some of these negative spirits. And that is why people have what are called blackouts. That's a very familiar term for people in the addiction services. People just black out. They don't remember what they've done for 2 or 3 hours. And as a medium, I can tell you, they have not been present. There's been some of these negative spirits taking over their body. So you want to be very careful. I know in Massachusetts, I'm close to Massachusetts, they're just legalizing marijuana. But you have to be careful, because sometimes, just like alcohol, too much marijuana can loosen the physical and astral bodies, and those negative spirits can get in. So I have seen that. And I also, where people are unhappy, when I did my book, Connecticut Ghosts, I had to go to 31 places in Connecticut. And I went to the East Granby copper mine in Connecticut, which was actually a prison. It would be a place where, in those days, if you were in prison, you were expected to work. and you were put to hard labor. And they would send the prisoners down to the copper mines. Well, you can imagine, they weren't too happy doing this. And there were a lot of negative spirits. We had a video camera, and we caught a few of the mischievous spirits on video chasing my husband around the mines. So they're there. Do we need to be aware of them? I'd say absolutely. There is evil in the world. There is negativity. But should we be afraid? I would say just be cautious. Be cautious where you go. If you have to be someplace that's not the best, surround yourself with white light. Say a prayer protection and don't linger. The longer you stay in negative places, the more likely you are to feel drained. I bet some of you have felt drained in different places, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
some
we
places that just do, yeah. There's
one of my
that drain you, too.
Yeah, went to a concentration camp in Europe. I think it was Auschwitz. And he was a parapsychology student. Jack was his name. And he happened to be traveling. He went there and he took photographs. And he's in the crematoriums. Why he did that, I don't know. That would not be something I would do. But he did. And he saw these little baby spirits in the crematoriums. And he said the whole area was just so eerie and filled with negative energy. He couldn't wait to get out of it. You know, so we need to be aware of some of these places. And not stay too long is what I would say. Don't linger.
Now, you mentioned alcoholics and frequenting bars of spirits, and there are societies, I think the Golden Dawn certainly believed that drugs and alcohol have their own elementals, sort of, so that if you're addicted to these substances, you almost take on the personality of that substance.
You could take on the personality. I don't think the listeners know exactly what we mean by elementals, but the spirit world, besides having humans that have passed over, we have spirits of nature, spirits of the wind, spirits of the dawn. As a clairvoyant, I was in Virginia Beach attending Edgar Cayce conference, and I love staying there because we always stay at the Ramada, and we get our balcony room facing the ocean because I love to watch the dawn at Virginia Beach, and you see these beautiful angelic figures on either side. And sometimes when I'm in the woods, I can see little brownies or little nature spirits. So they do exist. Is everyone aware of them? No. But you can feel them sometimes. You can feel awe-inspired when you see sunrise or inspired by seeing the sunset because there are so many beautiful spirits bring it in and bring it out. But I do think that's true to a certain degree. Yeah, they say even the food you eat affects you. That's why a lot of the Hindus don't believe in eating meat because they don't. The Buddhists, they feel it's not respecting life. Yeah, there's a lot to this. We are affected so much by the invisible world, even if we don't believe in it, we're still very deeply affected. We were talking about astrology just before we went on the air, and one of the things that has been going on this year is we have 3 retrograde Mars. And I think the Mars rules fire. And I really do believe that's why we're having so many problems with fires out there.
Oh, yeah.
And that we can't extinguish them, and they take so long to get under control. But fortunately, at the end of August, we're going in what's called a fortunate aspect called a kite. And I think by then, things will be better. I think they'll be completely under control.
As
I would say no later than August 30th. Yeah. So
you mean like let's go fly a kite kind of kite? What did you?
No, kite means that they are in fortunate aspect. They're in harmonious aspect, like trines and sextiles. And that means the energy is working together, and we're past all the Mars retrograde. And it should be somewhat much more harmonious energy. So I think August will certainly bring some positive things in. And I also feel intuitively that the government is going to start getting some programs for young people, you know, coming out, helping people who need to start careers. Or I think the idea of doing more technical training is very good, hands-on skills. I think all that's going to come out toward the end of August will be good, the announcements. So I feel we're coming into a little better period then.
Oh, good, because these last, yeah.
But we're not there yet. We're
these last two eclipses right close to each other, and the next one next Friday, next Saturday.
Yeah.
Tense.
So we have to watch all of that. And, of course, eclipses can actually affect us for 6 months. So it's not always just the time of the eclipse. It lasts for a period of time, the decisions that are made under it.
Ooh, and this last lunar eclipse, too, 4 hours. And that really had a lot of powerful impact, I believe.
It did. It did. A lot of people, that was the one around the 27th. Unfortunately, I had to travel, and I did my astrology blog on the Art of Mediumship website. I always do an astrology blog, and I'm typing it up, and I'm saying, this is not a good time to travel. Start early, you know, take your time, and when you get there, enjoy. I can't follow my own advice. but I had signed up to go to two seances in Lilydale, and they happened to be on the 28th and 29th, so we had to travel during that time. We did take our time. We did. We only went 3 hours and stopped. They don't tell them to the other 3 hours, because I just knew the energy wasn't good. We might as well just take our time and get there safely. We saw a wonderful physical medium. Do you know what physical mediumship is?
No.
Okay. Physical mediumship is demonstrating phenomena that everyone in the room can experience. So a physical medium can, for example, lift an object, psychokinesis, object can move, or they can do its direct voice, which is spirit speaks through a trumpet, and everyone in the room can hear spirit speak. Or you might get psychic photography is a form of physical mediumship. People can see their forms. So it's very interesting. And there was a wonderful physical medium that not too many people have heard of from Seattle, Washington. His name is Michael Shade. It's Michael with a Y. And he's been doing this about 15 years at least. He works with the Ascended Masters, and he has the ability to bring them through so you can hear the voice of the masters. So everyone in the room could hear the Ascended Masters speak, not through trance, but through the trumpet. So not many people can do trumpet mediumship. Only a few people have that ability. Although it was very popular back in Victorian times, there were a lot of people that had that ability. So it was exciting to see that and to see it coming back and people being more aware of other aspects. So that was a wonderful event for us. And, you know, when we have high energy, like an ascended master or a high spiritual energy present in the room, everyone feels healed. There's a healing vibration with it, too. It's almost like going to church. Everyone's praying. The high energy just lifts everybody right up. It's important.
So it's kind of like Reiki, and it just sort of fills everybody up.
It does. Reiki is a wonderful thing. I used to teach laying on of hands healing in the spiritualist church for many years. And the thing that used to irritate me a bit is after I taught people how to do it, nobody would use it. And then I started teaching Reiki, and all of a sudden people were using it. I think Reiki has done a lot to make people aware of the healing power of our hands, laying on of hands healing. Yeah. And even though Reiki is not a spiritualist practice, many spiritualist churches use it because it is so much in line with the philosophy of channeling higher energy for healing. Have you ever experienced Reiki?
I'm a Reiki 2
practitioner. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, so you have experienced it. It's
and that's
great.
Like and that's like level 2, not Reiki also?
Yeah, Reiki, level 2. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Level 2 is the mental healing, which is very important. Level 1 is the hands-on healing. But, you know, the principle is the same. It's the idea that there are higher beings, that you can channel this universal energy and bring it right through to help the person. I love the story of Dr. Usui, who was the founder of Reiki. He had read the Bible. This is the version I've read. Of course, we haven't got all the facts exactly right. But when my teacher, Linda Kaiser, told me, she said that he had been reading the Bible and reading about the healings of Jesus. And he began to wonder, why can't we do this as well? And then he decided to go up to the mountain and meditate for several days. And as a result of that, he developed his own ability to heal. So he just had that quest. He asked, and the universe gave him an answer.
That logic is exactly the foundation of Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy came up with that exact concept. And like, you know, if he could do it, why can't others?
I love Christian Science. My aunt Evelyn was a Christian Science practitioner for many years. Yeah. And I was actually healed once by Christian Science.
As was I.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. How were you healed? I'd love to hear your story.
When I was a child, I was running down the stairs to the front door, and I missed the latch. And in the winter, the screen door was placed by a plate of glass, and I went through the plate of glass. And from my head to my midsection, I was shredded like hamburger.
Oh, dear.
And we just wrapped me up in towels, and I was, I guess, somewhere between 7 and 9. And I had already been raised in Christian Science, so the concepts were all there. And to quote, oddly enough, to quote a line, to paraphrase a line from Spock in Star Trek, pain is the thing of the mind, and mind can be controlled. Similarly, you have matter is an illusion. It's almost like she created the matrix. She created the concept that we're in a simulation and a matrix, and that we can create our own reality and alter thing. And as one of my metaphysics teachers once said, magic is simply the redirection of reality in a way that can't be measured by science yet.
That's true. I believe that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Arthur C. Clarke said, any advanced amount of science is going to look like magic. So the only scar I have from that, I'm looking at it right now, is on the thumb side of my wrist, on my left arm, and it's a perfect symmetrical V.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I was a teenager. I was living with my aunt for the summer in Baltimore, and it was a hot summer night. I had shorts on and a sleeveless top, and I fell into a bush of poison ivy. I didn't realize I was allergic to it. And, of course, I just blistered from my arms, my legs, everything. And it was extremely painful. And I was, and my aunt said, now, don't worry. I'm going to start praying for you right away, Elaine. And she sat me down, and she prayed for me. And, you know, being a teenager, I thought, oh, give me a break. I didn't say it. I was very polite. Brought up in Boston, I was very polite. But I was thinking, you got to be kidding me. And I just said, the heck with it. I'll just go to bed and I'll see the doctor tomorrow. And when I woke up, every blister was gone, except where I had scratched my thighs. There were two scratch marks left that I had inflicted. But everything that had to do with the poison ivy was totally gone. There wasn't a trace left. I was shocked because I didn't even believe in it. It was my aunt's face.
Well, also, Boston is where the Christian Science Mother Church is.
Yes, that's where she trained.
Yeah, and my mom is currently a reader in her church.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mentioned Christian Science in my book by way of talking about Dr. Quimby, who was Mary Baker Eddy's teacher. She had a study with him for a while. He was in Portland, Maine. Not too many people realize that. Yeah, and because I love history. If I could get a good historical book, I always read it. But anyway, Dr. Quimby in Portland, Maine, started the idea of healing with mental healing. And he also had very unusual abilities, psychic abilities. For example, he would be in Portland, Maine, and he would tell the person to sit at a certain time, say 8 o'clock at night, and he would, in his spirit form, leave his body in Maine and appear before people. He's a very unusual thing. He was a very, very advanced practitioner. So, and Mary Baker Eddy did a lot to codify and to organize his work and to bring it to the public. So we owe her a great debt. We do.
Yeah.
Definitely. The Christian Science, I love Christian Science, but I'm also a great believer in do whatever we can medically, too.
Oh, yeah.
God gives us a mind to use in medicine,
the number one question Christian Scientists are asked is, well, what if your HIPAA, you know, that kind of nonsense.
I know.
And essentially, my parents' response was like, well, we'd go to a friggin' hospital. What are you talking about?
I know. I'm kind of a modified Christian Scientist, but I think the principles are wonderful. And they do work. Even if you don't believe in them, they work. If the practitioner is strong enough, they work.
Yep.
So that's a wonderful background to have. And I think, and they find that Christian Scientists live longer. I think it's all the positive thinking they do.
Yeah.
Not all the negativity.
I want to let everybody know that if we have a little time later in the show, Elaine will do a couple of readings if you'd like to have a reading done. In order to get a reading done, though, you will have to send a message to me. Private message.
And say hello to me because I need voice vibration. That's what we say.
Send a message to me and give me your name and your phone number so I can call you. That's the only way that we can get you in. So do that and we will take and get those over for you. With that, I want to have Elaine tell us a little bit about her new book that's coming out, Healing with Spirit. It comes out in September. And what all is in the book? What does it tell you, to how to heal with the spirit?
Right. Well, I think the subtitle, Health Intuition, Clairvoyance, and Afterlife Communication, sum up the gist of the book. But what it basically is, it looks at two very important factors. And I hope there's some doctors out there, medical professionals listening, because I think these are two very important things. One, I truly feel, and I believe science is very close to proving, that we have an energy body. That not only do we have our physical form, but we have an energy body that leaves with us when we depart this plane. And this energy body can be very helpful in healing. There have been all sorts of documented cases of people that are healers that work on the energy body and return it to perfect health. Probably one of the best examples is Harry Edwards. He was a spiritualist healer. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I'm not familiar with.
Well, that's probably because he's from England. He's not as well known in the United States. But my teachers, Gladys and Kenneth Custance, knew Harry Edwards personally. And Gladys was a wonderful medium. She was a trance medium. She was a professional harpist and a minister. And she and her husband shared the same gifts. He was also a professional harpist, a minister, and a medium. And they were invited over to England to do a church service. And Gladys, unfortunately, was a lifelong asthmatic. She had to be very careful of her health. Well, when she was over in England, she had an asthma attack, and she was feeling terrible. And she said to Reverend Edwards, you know, Harry, I don't know if I'll be able to do the church service tomorrow. I really feel terrible. I may have to go to the hospital. My asthma's acting up. So Harry Edwards did healing every day at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. And Gladys didn't know that at the time. But at 10 o'clock at night, as she described it to me, she felt these waves of energy, purple light, hitting her chest. She was a clairvoyant, so she could see the healing energy. And she said, they kept hitting my chest, and they kept opening the chest up, and I was breathing better, and I felt wonderful. I felt much better. I was able to go to sleep. And she said, Elaine, when I woke up in the morning, I was completely cured of asthma, that asthma attack, and she was able to do the church service. And the way she described it, even though she was a medium and a minister, she was still very surprised at how quickly the healing energy from Harry Edwards helped her. And Harry Edwards, by the way, was not born a healer. He became a healer because he joined a spiritualist church and he started praying for people. He was a printer by trade. And people would come in and they knew he was belonged to the spiritualist church and they'd ask him to pray for someone. And one woman came in and asked her to pray for her husband who had cancer. They didn't feel there was much chance of him surviving. So he said, of course, here's your printing material, and of course I'll pray for him. And she came back a week later, and her husband was cured. And of course, he lived in a small town in England, and it wasn't long before people weren't coming for printing, they were coming for prayers. So Harry Edwards, being the honest person that he was, decided to devote his life to healing others, and eventually gave up his profession of being a printer and became a healer, and started the Healing Sanctuary in England, which he is no longer with us, but is still in existence by his followers. And he really just believes that through prayer that we can heal. And he had some wonderful spirit guides that worked with them, and he would call on them. He had faith. He worked with doctors as well. That's one of the things I liked about Harry Edwards. He would have, 400 or 500 people in at the auditorium when he was doing his healings on stage. And he always invited doctors to come up and examine people. He had doctors on stage with him. He was extremely ethical. And he always gave credit to the spirits that worked with him. He said, you know, if you have faith, it's the faith and the spiritual healing. It's not me. It's those that come through me. So he's done some wonderful books. And he was interested in all aspects of spiritualism. He wrote a book that I just love on Jack Weber, who was a physical medium. And Jack Weber, they would tie him up and tie his hands, tie his body into a chair. And all these objects would move around the room. He would levitate tables and things of that nature. You can see that on the web. There's lots of Jack Weber pictures. But Harry Edwards was also interested in that aspect of mediumship. And plus, he was a wonderful minister, too. So Gladys Custis kind of got me interested. When she started telling me all these stories about wonderful healings that took place, she got me thinking about using spiritual healing more, which is very important. But that's the first thing, is that we do have an energy body that continues with us past the change called death. And the second principle that I feel very, very strongly is we have higher forces. You can call them angels, ascended masters, spiritual guides, Jesus, Mother Mary, St. Francis. But I do believe there are higher spiritual forces that, if called on, will come in to help us. But we have to call on them. It's like it's something that it's a request that has to be made, because the higher forces don't interfere with our free will. Reverend Gladys used to always say, a master never commands, never demands, because they know better. They know better than to interfere with your free will. You have to be ready to receive the good energy. So those are the two things. And I try through different things. To talk about spiritual anatomy, your role of intuition, the importance of the aura, which is the uppermost portion of our spiritual body, how dreams can be helpful, laying on of hands, and mediumship, afterlife communications. There's so many things out there that people, the average person, may not be aware of that would be very helpful to know. So I wrote the book with that intention in mind. And I have personally had many experiences with healers and with mediums and people that make just their living from in a very positive way. So I also have a chapter on Edgar Cayce. I talk about him. Are you aware of Cayce's work?
I am, but I guess the question I have for you, Ed, was going to be, Edgar Cayce, was his sleep time when he visited these people, was that more for diagnostic purposes, or did he use it for healing?
He was a medical clairvoyant. He was a medical clairvoyant. People came to him to diagnose. And the interesting thing is he had the same problem many medical intuitives and clairvoyants have. You know, he had to be very careful. And he did work with doctors. He worked with Dr. Harold Reilly to give treatments to people. Dr. Harold Reilly was a well-known physical therapist and doctor in New York City. And he had very, very famous patients such as Bob Hope and movie stars that came to him. And Edgar Cayce's guides would tell people in Virginia Beach to visit Dr. Reilly to receive treatments. And Dr. Reilly was rather surprised to find that the man he thought was Dr. Cayce was not a doctor, but a medium, a channeler who was bringing through very exact and precise information. So it was very interesting. There's just so much out there that people don't realize that have not necessarily been given to the general public, but very helpful to know.
They were asking in the chat room if you can heal DNA.
You know, I had that. I did not do research on it. I have to be honest. I did research on other aspects of healing. But there are groups that believe it can be done.
Hmm.
Yeah. There are groups out there that feel that you can actually change your DNA code.
I would think it's entirely probable if you're able to heal oneself just through the power of one's own mind and the potential that's in the mind and altering the reality into whatever you needed.
I would think it would be possible, though I have to admit I haven't done research on it. I heard
doing it in practice is something else.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that it is possible, and supposedly we're supposed to be changing our DNA anyway as we evolve. We're supposed to evolve into higher beings, into more spiritual beings, so that people will have these faculties of clairvoyance, clairaudience, intuition will be natural to us eventually.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody, at least I hope they don't think that we're at the top of the evolution yet. We're just beginning.
No, we have a way to go. And I don't believe we're in the age of Aquarius yet. I'm sorry. There's too much strife out there. I do hope to see it in my lifetime. So maybe in 10 or 15 years, there'll be world peace. I don't feel until there's world peace, we can say we're into the Aquarian age.
Yeah, I think we're still in the birth process.
I think we're still going through it. We'll see. Yeah. But I do believe that there will eventually be world peace. I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't give you a date, but I do feel there will be. I think their consciousness is growing all over the world, not just in one country. I think the consciousness is growing to a more humanistic view of society and wanting to work together. You talk to the average person, Iran, Mexico, America, England, they all want world peace. You know, it's just the factions that seem to take over.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if you do have questions, you can private chat them to Henry Foister or Ceiling Cat. We will get those right over to Elaine and let her answer them. We're coming up here shortly on a break, but first, my question is, to actually do a lot of this stuff, do you have to be intuitive?
No, I think intuition is a byproduct of prayer and spirituality, but I don't think you have to be intuitive. I think it's something that will come along as you begin to do healing. Absolutely. And I think everyone's intuitive to a certain degree. It's just we're not always aware of it. I mean, if I teach a class on parapsychology, I usually ask people these questions. Have you ever heard the telephone ring and you know who's on the other end, even though they don't usually call at that time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Do you ever?
I refer to that as my pointless psychism.
Yeah. No, you do. People do. I mean, half the class beat their hands.
I came off the bus the other day walking to Wendy's, and I just started thinking of a song I hadn't heard in years, and I think, oh, I like that song. And I go in, and it was the next song that they played as the music.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And I also say, do you ever have a think about someone, maybe a friend, and all of a sudden they'll call you? That's an example of telepathy. They pick up your thought. And if you get really good at telepathy, you'll think about your friend. They'll pick up the thought at the same time, and you'll pick up the phone. And they'll be on the line. It hasn't even rung yet.
That happens a lot. My brother and I each took life workshops on opposite sides of the country. And one of the aspects they refer to is sourcing, which is essentially that. It's where you manifest what you want. It's almost it's their version of a form of prayer or a form of magic, blah, blah, blah. And I was working at a job at the time, and I got in my head, call your brother, or that my brother wanted me to talk to him or something. And I'm thinking, well, I'm at work. I can't do that right now. And I keep – every couple of minutes, I just – bing, and in my head, like, call Alan. And finally, I took a break, and I called him, and he says, what took you? I've been sourcing you for 20 minutes.
Ah, isn't that something? You're very telepathic, but you picked it right up. And you responded, too, which is nice, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, I kind of had to because I knew he'd call me eventually.
Another thing I often tell parapsychology students is to keep a notebook. And when you have these moments that you describe, write them down. Check them out. Make a game of it. A good exercise if you want to increase intuition is once a week, sit down with a notebook, put the date on the top. You'll say Sunday evening, 7 p.m., whatever you like, and write down three events that you think are going to happen that week. They could be things like someone's going to call to ask you for lunch. It could be something like an airplane crash. It could be your dog is going to learn a new trick. Whatever you want. It could be something serious. It could be more frivolous. But whatever you want, three things that you think are going to happen in the next week, and then check it out. See how well you are at predicting.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a good way of sharpening your intuition, because many times we do sense things before they occur, but then we think it's our imagination. And really, intuition will always seem like your imagination until you train your mind to be aware of it.
Okay. Well, that's like all the people who dismiss metaphysics out of hand. And I keep saying, well, it's not that metaphysics doesn't exist. It's that you haven't had a metaphysical or a paranormal experience yourself yet. And the probability exists they have. They've just dismissed it because they're too stuck in their version of reality.
Absolutely. It's true. And we're thought to be so, we think of everything so rationally, but there's more than the rational mind. There's the inspirational mind.
Well, I thought you were going to point out the irrational mind, and a lot of people would point out I'm pretty much in that respect.
Irrational, I would say abnormal behavior can be good or bad, depending on how you want to look at it.
Well, that's how my comedy scripts are so twisted.
Wow.
Kind of zany, right?
I think we're going to go ahead and take a break. It won't be real long. Just remind everybody, the mics are live, so don't be talking or doing anything. With that, Jeff,
why don't you take
us out on a break?
Absolutely. You're listening to The Paranormal View on para-x.com with host Henry Foister, Ceiling Cat Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's awesomely gregarious guest author, Elaine Kosmeska. So stay tuned for more Paranormal View after the break.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
Are you psychic? Do you often have dreams that come true? Do you have an interest in hypnosis or astrology? If you'd like to learn more about classes, events, and books on metaphysics, then go to our website, www.theartofmediumship. This is Elaine Kosmeska's, director of the New England School of Metaphysics and author of The Art of Mediumship.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
So, Tim, around here at Para-X, we're considered oldies because we've been here so long, right?
You know, yeah, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with oldies. In fact, you know what? I really love oldies.
Well, yeah, me too. I mean, it kind of takes me back to a time when my cauldron had training wheels and the Black Cat Lounge was called the Black Kitten Lounge. Sometimes I miss the good old days.
Sis, there's no need to miss them at all, because all you'll have to do is turn on and listen to Rock with the Shock.
Rock with the Who?
No, 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 little sis. No, 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 not the Who. The Shock.
Hi, I am John Zaffis, and you are listening to Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And, whoa, that's kind of loud, wasn't it? And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View right here on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight, those listening in the chat room and those listening from around the world. We appreciate each and every one of you. And we have with us Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello. Trying to get into the chat room and not letting go.
And we have Barbara Duncan.
Still here?
And speaking of those from around the world, where do we have listeners at tonight?
Henry, tonight they're listening in the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Singapore, Australia, and our unknown friend is back.
Oh, right. That's good. And we want to welcome back our distinguished guest, Elaine Kuzmeskis.
Oh, I'm glad to be back.
All right. And we're talking about your book, your new book that's going to be coming out. Healing with Spirit. Go ahead.
I was going to say one of the things I'd like to talk about is our thoughts, how our thoughts affect our healing. And there was a wonderful book out. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought by Peter McWilliams. Have you heard of it?
No, I've heard the title.
It's a great book. It really gives you an idea of how our negative thoughts affect our health in a difficult way. For example, in my psychic development group in Boston in the late 1960s, early 1970s, we had a woman that named Miss Martin. And Gladys used to give us this sheet. It was called the Blue Sheet. It had all these affirmations that she received. And Miss Martin was a spinster in Boston who was always ill. Her family had to take care of her. She didn't get out of bed. She was very depressed. And she began to read new thought. And she began to think, it's a form of positive thinking, I can heal myself. And so she got a dictionary. And she started looking up positive words such as joy, happiness, felicity. And she would say these words over and over again in the beginning of her morning. And then she started putting sentences together such as, I am keen, vital, and alert in the activity of spirit. And she would say these affirmations. And it was about a month or so she started to feel better and she was able to get out of bed. And slowly, just by using her mind and positive thinking, she turned her negative attitude around and became a vital person again. So I think it's very important that people are aware of the fact that what we are thinking has a tremendous influence on our health. And I have to call one cautionary note. In the Seth Theory, Jane Roberts quote Seth as saying, you can't say an affirmation for 5 minutes and then be negative all day long. You've got to actually live the affirmation, not just say it. But I think there's a lot to that. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book, how our thoughts are things and they directly affect our health. So I wanted to give that thought to you as we start the next segment.
It totally makes sense because, you know, you can see people and you can pretty much tell how they're going to do, even patients, by their attitude when they're going in. If they feel like they're just sick and it just brings them down instead of having a positive attitude of, I'm going to get better, I'm going to get better, I'm going to get better. The ones who say that, yeah,
absolutely.
Get better.
quicker.
Dr. Bernie Siegel wrote a great book called Man, Medicine, and Healing, which he talks about how he learned through a lot. Well, first of all, very few people know this, but Dr. Bernie Siegel is a Yale New Haven board-certified surgeon, and he and his wife, Bobby, went to Baltimore to visit a faith healer, and her name was Olga Warhol. And at the time, he had a very bad knee injury. Well, he really went pretty much to placate Bobby, his wife. But during the service, Bobby gave him a shove, but it came time to go to the healing chairs and for him to go up. So he went up. He hobbled up. And he had a treatment with Olga Warhol, and he came back. And then all of a sudden, he noticed his leg wasn't bothering him. And being a doctor, that really got his attention because she didn't manipulate the leg. She didn't really do much except hands-on healing. And he started to become very interested in hands-on healing. And at the time, he was working with cancer patients. So he started a group called Exceptional Cancer Patients, where he got them into guided imagery. And he had people basically draw three pictures, their illness, how they saw themselves getting well, and a picture of them well. And he had people begin to focus on being well, on how you feel when you're well, and to begin to do this in a very important way. And he had very good success rate with people using this technique of being an exceptional cancer patient. And then he took it a step further, and he said, well, I should do this in surgery. So he asked people before he did surgery what was their favorite music. And he would play whatever that music they really liked during surgery so that they would be, even though they were out of their body, they were knocked out cold, they would still in some ways receive the music that they liked. And then he would give them the suggestion before they went to surgery that they would feel wonderful, they would feel very vital, and they would be able to void in the morning, no problem. And he said he really did good. He's now retired. He lives in Connecticut. But I think Dr. Bernie Siegel's work has helped a lot of people, especially people with cancer, to use the mind-body connection to heal. So I mentioned him in the book also. And, of course, Olga Warhol was a wonderful person. Have you heard of Olga and her husband?
That's one I'm not familiar with.
No.
No, well, Olga Warhol and her husband, he was an engineer and she was a homemaker. They met in college. And Olga, all her life, was clairvoyant. She would see dead people. So when she met her husband, Bill, she said, he asked her to marry her. After dating for a while, he asked for a hand in marriage. And she says, oh, you don't want to marry me. I see dead people. And he looked her right in the eye and he said, I do too. So they were both clairvoyant. So it was a very good merging of energies between the two of them. And Olga and her husband both were very devoted to helping people through hands-on healing, which they did free of charge in the church for people in Baltimore. And they had a lot of very good cases that they helped people overcome illnesses. Unless you lived in Baltimore or were down south, you might not be aware of them. But they wrote several books, too, on spiritual healing that was very helpful. So these are the kinds of stories that inspired me and that I mentioned in the book, Healing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Franz Mesmer and that era, because magnetism, I was absolutely fascinated by. And there's a place out here called the Museum of Mechanics, and it has one of those devices that they believed that if you gave yourself an electrical shock every now and then, it was a healing process.
Wonderful. Well, Franz Mesmer was very successful as a physician. He was, and he would actually have copper vats filled with water, and he would have rods to touch people and to heal them because he believed in something called animal magnetism. I don't know if you've heard that term.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some people have hypnosis. The modern hypnotists do not like the term animal magnetism, and they usually take it out of most of their literature. But Franz Anton Mesmer, Dr. Mesmer, believed that we had an energy body, and he referred to it as animal magnetism. And he felt by manipulating this energy body with the copper rods or hands-on healing, or he even did energy passes over the body,
where you put your hand and you sweep it through the body to clear it of any negative energy, could be very healing. And then, of course, he got into the concept of hypnosis, which was what his claim to fame is. But he was a great healer. He used different methods as well.
And the odd thing is now they're using copper in socks and in leg and knee braces and elbow braces again.
Right, and that's because it's a good conductor of energy. Copper is supposedly a good conductor of energy. Yeah, so some of our modern scientists are beginning to review this, which is good. I hope they do more of it because it does help people. Yeah, definitely. My teacher, Kenneth Custance, used to always wear a copper bracelet for his arthritis, and he swore by it. He said it really did help. Yeah, I know people can get those. You can order them. I would say if you decide to wear a copper bracelet, like with any article you purchase from a store or internet, you want to cleanse it. This is very important. There's lots of ways you can cleanse articles. One is you can simply put it under the moonlight. The moonlight can be a full moon can be very cleansing. Just leave it out overnight. Or if you don't want to wait for the full moon, get a solution of sea salt. About maybe a quarter of a cup of sea salt and 3/4 cup of distilled water. Shake it up. It's a neutral substance. And you can spray it on the bracelet. And then this is the important part, is the mental part. As you wipe the sea salt solution off, say an affirmation. This bracelet will be used only for the highest healing and highest good. And put the thought right into it. And then you'll have not only a clear bracelet, but you'll have a very powerfully charged bracelet as well. A lot of people don't realize that. Everything picks up the energy around it.
Yeah. If we can go back to Mesmer for a second, because I wanted to ask you, you're talking about affirmations and saying it on a daily basis. What about hypnosis and the use for healing, in that it's sort of along the same way? You're planting that affirmation in the subconscious, right?
Absolutely. And I'm also a professional hypnotist. And one of the things that's very important in hypnosis is getting the person on board, letting them decide what they want to change, what's important, and then using hypnosis as a tool to help them change. Hypnosis is very powerful. And I find that more people are beginning to use it, medical doctors, because the AMA since the 1950s has recognized it. So it's important to use. Have you ever been hypnotized?
I have never been hypnotized.
Bob?
No.
Never?
Not officially.
Jeffrey?
No. I went up on Creston was performing at a local college, and my brother and I went up, and we stayed up there, but I understood hypnotism a little better than my brother did. And at one point he did an old trick where you close your eyes and you look up with your eyes closed, and the muscles are now fighting each other. So you can't open your eyes.
Right. They do that. Yeah.
Right. And so my brother started to panic, and I knew the trick because I had read up on hypnosis. And he says, I can't open my eyes. I really can't. I said, just look down. Now open them. And he was fine.
Yeah. Well, hypnosis is a very powerful healing tool. It really is. If nothing else, it can help the body relax, progressive relaxation. A lot of people use it to lose weight, to stop smoking, get rid of negative habits. And who was it? A man by Simulton investigated guided imagery with cancer patients and had fairly good success. So Carl Simulton out of Texas. So it's been used with many different forms. I wish that the National Health Institute would investigate more of these cases. I think that would be very good to validate it.
Wow.
Yeah, I think hypnosis is a wonderful way, a wonderful tool for people to use for healing. Unfortunately, it's used more for stage shows, which are fun, but they don't necessarily use it with serious purpose.
So do you think everybody can be hypnotized? I've just never felt like that I could do anything like that.
Well, everybody in hypnosis, we always talk about the four states of us,
mind, which is the beta waking state, which I hope everybody's in right now, the alpha relaxed state, the theta very relaxed state, and the delta, which is dead sleep. And almost everybody can get to an alpha relaxed state. I'll give you some examples. Of the three of you, have you ever driven home at night and you get a drove in your driveway and you can't remember how you got there?
Sometimes I do that every time I get in the car.
In the room. I know. Or somebody comes in the room, you're reading a book and you don't hear them. Are you watching TV very intently and someone will come in and talk to you, you haven't heard a word. You're in a hypnotic state. You're in a very, very relaxed state. Now, can we do surgery on you in that state? No. You'd have to get to a really, really deep, deep state, like a delta state. But you certainly, people can be hypnotized. I think about, I would say 90% of the population could be hypnotized. To a light level. You know, not everybody can go to a deep, deep level, but to a light level.
So what level do you actually have to go to be able to heal this stuff?
It depends on what you're trying to do. I think most people, the idea is you want people who are trying to change habits to go to a very relaxed state like alpha or theta, but you don't want them asleep because they won't remember the suggestion. So sometimes a light level can be, and there are some people that just feel a light level is fine, like those Ericksonian hypnosis. They feel that's just fine. A light level is all you need. Other hypnosis people feel you should go to a deeper level. It's very doable, and you don't even have to believe in hypnosis to be hypnotized. How do you like that?
Oh, that's cool.
No, it's true. I've seen stage hypnotists and bring people up on stage that are very suggestible, and they like to do things. The National Guild of Hypnotists, they always do a hypnotist show every August, and they'll bring somebody up on stage and they'll put them in a light trance and give them a suggestion, a post-hypnotic suggestion, such as every time somebody says the word red, you're going to feel someone's pinched your behind, and then they get them out of hypnosis and they go back to their seat. And the hypnotist will start talking and he'll talk about what a wonderful birthday party he had. His wife gave him some red slippers, and without a doubt, the person who's been given that post-hypnotic suggestion jumps up and says to the person, "Stop pinching me!" And it's a riot. Of course, at the end, they have to remove the suggestion. But, and that person doesn't necessarily believe in hypnosis, but it still works. Huh. So it's interesting, yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Office Space?
A long time ago. It's very funny.
Yeah. Where the guy, I didn't realize that was the premise until I saw it because they didn't show it in the trailers. But I don't know if you've seen it, Henry. It's a very well-known comedy with Kyle Chandler, who plays a just fed up with his job worker, and a party hypnotist puts him under a trance. And while he's still under the trance, the hypnotist dies, has a heart attack and dies. Ooh. So technically he stays in this suggested state that nothing matters. He shouldn't be upset about work, blah, 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 blah. And he just goes to work and he just, all of his not caring about anything now shows up. And he becomes such, not a slacker, but he is so open about, well, yeah, I come in and I sit around and just sort of stare at the wall for 15 minutes. And then he's completely truthful to the point that the HR people brought in think, wow, this guy has management potential.
Ah, great. It is a very funny movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And, comedies are healing. I think it was Norman Cousins wrote a book, Laughter is the Best Medicine.
Right.
It's a great book. And he gives an example in the book that I just love. He says he was on his way to a Lakers game, I guess, and they stopped because they saw an accident, and this gentleman was hurt, and I guess Norman took his pulse, and he had a very high pulse, which could show he could go into cardiac arrest. So Norman, knowing this idea that our mind affects the body, said to him, he says, he said the opposite. He didn't say your pulse looks like you're going into cardiac arrest. He said, your pulse is fine. You're in a very safe place. The ambulance is on the way, and they're going to take you to one of the best hospitals in the world at UCLA. It's going to be fine. And he gave him that thought. He kept being positive.
And instead of the gentleman having a heart attack, he survived and made it to the hospital okay. And I think that's important to know that we can, by talking to someone, being positive, reassuring them, help the person really relax a little bit and make it to a better place, which is important.
Well, yeah, that gentleman,
you know, one of the things
Adams,
I did mention,
he healed by laughter.
Yeah. I love that movie. Robin yes. Williams was in, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It's a great movie. And, you know, there are so many things we can do to really, really be helpful. But one of the things I was going to share with you is one of the chapters in the book. I'm a great believer in dream analysis. I wrote a book called Dream Zone a few years back. And I also included a chapter in Healing with Spirit on how dreams can be very helpful. And many times people will, in their dreams, will receive messages that can be very, very helpful in healing them or giving them ideas about healing, which are important. Cahill Cabron says, yesterday is but today's memory, and tomorrow is today's dream. And a very famous medium became aware of his psychic gifts through dreams. Have any of you heard of Reverend Arthur Ford?
No.
No, well, he died a number of years ago, but he was probably the number one medium in our country. And he had been in World War I. He was stationed in the United States. But he realized he was psychic through dreams, because every night he would receive communications while he was in the Army in 1918, and they would see in the dreams a list of the soldiers who had died during the night. And he would remember the list, and then the next morning when they posted the list of the casualties, it would be exactly as he saw it in the dream. And that kind of got his attention. And I do feel many people don't realize this, but we are all psychic in our dream state to a certain degree. The problem is most people don't remember their dreams, so they don't get the benefit of the psychic information. Yeah, there's been some very famous dreamers there, some wonderful examples of people. Abraham Lincoln, for example, actually dreamt of his own death. That's been written down in many places.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks before he died, he had a dream that he woke up in the middle of the night and he went down to the portico and he saw there was a casket laid out and there were four military men guarding the casket at night, which is the military tradition. They put one in each corner. And he went up to one of them and he said, well, who's died? And they answered, the president. So he did foretell his own death in a dream. Whether it could have been prevented or not, I don't know. But I thought that was an interesting example. And then people also have very positive dreams that come true. Sometimes I know many people tell me they have met their future husband or wife in a dream. They'll have a dream of a certain type of person and then they'll come into their lives. So there's a lot going on. Edgar Cayce said, anything of importance in our lives, it's really important, we will first preview in a dream. We'll first kind of go ahead and see what's going on in the dream state.
Well, years ago, my brother came across this health product that kept my dad alive for an extra 2 years. Called Matol KM, and in there, the backstory was that the scientist who had was this genius when it came to botany had gotten like 2 PhDs by the time he was like 25 and stuff like that, and he had tried to formulate a botanical supplement to help oxygenate the blood, because he had been mountain climbing and he lost his breath and he panicked and he thought, oh my God, this is it, I'm going to die. But he made it down the mountain. He says, well, that's the last time I'm climbing until I figure out a way to handle this altitude issue. And he was working on the problem and he came down to like one little aspect of the formula he wasn't managing to do, and finally just said, all right, I'm going to have to work on this tomorrow. And he conked out and his brain kept working on the problem while he was sleeping. And he came up with the solution to the formula, and he woke up, wrote it down, and fortunately it was legible. So when he woke up, he was able to complete the formula and managed to get it to work.
Oh, wonderful. A lot of people don't realize, but Dr. Banting in Canada, he had been working for many years to find a cure for diabetes, because back in the 1920s, diabetic children didn't live very long. It was really a killer, like polio was. And one night, he had a very specific dream where he saw himself extracting something from the pancreas of a dog. And then he put all his research from then on working on the pancreas, and he discovered that the problem with diabetics is they don't produce insulin, which is produced in the pancreas. So that was a wonderful dream for humanity. Definitely. I think more scientists receive information in their dreams, but they're very reluctant to specify that. You know, they're more likely to keep it to themselves.
Yeah, that sort of stays more anecdotally going right into the paper.
Yeah. They don't put that in a typical paper. It's too bad. They probably tell all their sources, shall we say.
Well, I think they're getting closer to knowing that the truth is.
You had asked about negative spirits, so I went through some of my archives here. What I was studying to be a medium, I studied for 3 years in a spiritualist development group in Boston. It was in Brookline. And we had the greatest group of people. I swear we all knew each other in a past life in Egypt. Everyone got along so well. We had two MIT professors, and we also had a rabbi. We had a professional model. We had several teachers, secretaries. We had people in the medical field. And they were just a great group of people. And one of the gentlemen, the MIT professor, was older. He was like in his 60s. And he said, he told us a story back in the 1940s when he was active in his profession at MIT. He was talking to people about how one day they would have a man on the moon. And of course, back in the 40s, they thought he was nuts. They said, there's no way that'll ever happen. That's your imagination, doctor. It's not going to happen. He got so mad. He was also very intuitive. He pounded his fist on the desk. And he said, you know, in 25 years, I'm going to have a moon rock on my desk. And 25 years later, I think it was 1969, one of the astronauts came back to MIT and very graciously brought a bag of stones from the moon and gave one to the doctor. So, you know, he says, you know, I couldn't tell that to my colleagues, but I could tell it to a group of psychic development group. So they are. A lot of very good scientific people use their intuition. But you had asked about negative spirits, so I had a rather interesting story. One of our people who were developing psychic was a professional model, very beautiful lady, and her name was Alma. And she lived in an older house in Belmont that she bought in with her husband, Hank. And it was a very nice house. They were a childless couple. It was a two-bedroom bungalow. They loved the location, so Alma could go to New York for her modeling assignments, and Hank had an aeronautics company. The only thing is, as beautiful as the house was, and it was high on a hill in Belmont, every time Alma went into the pantry to get something, she was very intuitive. She would get a terrible sick feeling in her stomach. She felt terrible, and she would get an awful headache on the right side of her head. And this happened over and over again. And so she began to wonder if something strange had happened in the home. So she asked her neighbor, and a lovely Armenian lady who had lived in that area for many years, had anything unusual happened? And she goes, why, yes. The gentleman that built the house was an architect, and he committed suicide in the pantry. He shot himself in the right temple. So after that, she became very upset, and she started praying for the gentleman to leave, that he was no longer alive, that he shouldn't be hanging around the house. We call these negative spirits. And she tried to do what we call it rescue work. You pray for people that don't know they're dead, but she prayed and prayed and prayed, and he still seemed to linger. And then one night in the winter, she was getting ready for bed, and the gentleman got sick of her prayers. The spirit actually pushed her, and she fell down the stairs. At midnight, she ended up in the hospital emergency ward, and she just had enough. She had a temper, and she said, there is no way I'm going to tolerate a spirit pushing me around. So she asked her teachers, Reverend Gladys and Kenneth Customs, to exorcise the house. So they did. That is one of the rites of spiritualism. We have an exorcism rite. So they came and they went through the house. They talked to this. They contacted the spirit of the architect. They told him that he was dead, that he needed to go on, that he needed to go to a higher plane, to go to the light. And they went through every single room telling that spirit to leave. It took them about 2 hours. They said they were exhausted afterwards. And so every week we would ask, Alan would say, is it okay? Is your Padre okay? And she said, yes, he's completely gone. But sometimes negative spirits are spirits that don't really know they passed over. So they need our prayers and they need a strong spiritual person to let them know they shouldn't be there. Have any of you had experiences with ghosts?
Yeah, but that sounds more like not a negative spirit, but a grouchy person.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Did they talk to you or?
Grouchy.
Just grouchy. We are down to time to take a last break. So I think we'll take another quick one and the mics will be live. And then when we come back, we'll ask a couple more questions with Lane. And then if we get time, we'll take a few readings if people would like to have a reading. We'll tell you more about that after the break. Jeff, you want to take us out? Or is Jeff here?
It would help if I'm unmuted, I guess, because I was typing. You're listening to The Paranormal View on power-x.com with hosts Henry Foister, Ceiling Cat, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's awesome guest, author Elaine Kosmeskis. So stay tuned for more Paranormal View after the break.
Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy-mettled maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. You've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
Brett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
There's a darkness in the hallway. Voices that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night, there is a feeling that something or someone is near. Where do you go? Who in the turtle? Para-X Radio. Knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, right here to the Paranormal View on the Parax Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. Those in the chat room and those listening from around the world, we appreciate it. We have with us Jeffrey Gould.
Who is muted?
probably, yeah. And we have Barbara Duncan with us. Not muted. And we have Elaine Kuzmeskis with us.
I'm glad to be back.
All right. Let's see. You talk about your book. One of the things in there, you talk about the energy field that's around us.
Yes.
What is the energy field that's around us?
Well, the energy field is around that's around us. It's the light body. The Chinese call it the qi. The Japanese call it ki. Theosophists call it astral light. And it's also called the etheric or the astral body as well. And it's really the exact duplicate of the physical body. And by healing the etheric template, we can also heal the physical body. Now, this is not a popular concept in the United States, but in Brazil and South America, they have incredible examples of spiritualists, or they call them spiritist healers, that are able to bring incredible changes in people's lives, both mentally and physically. When I was in Brazil about 8 or 9 years ago, one of the things I wanted to do was to see a spiritist hospital. This is a hospital where they do hands-on healing, depossessions, and work with addictions. So we had a cab driver who was a very nice man. He was a retired military gentleman. And we had him drive us into Annapolis, and I asked if we could stop at a spiritist hospital. Well, in the United States, most of the spiritualist churches are very small. We don't really have any spiritist hospitals. So I was expecting to see a small building or perhaps a home. And there was this huge hospital about a block long. I was very impressed at the energy and the reverence they give to spiritist healing. And I asked if he knew much about the hospital. He said, yes. My brother was addicted to alcohol for many, many years, and he went to the Spiritist Hospital free of charge. They have socialized medicine in Brazil. And he received treatments which included depossession. Every day at noon, they have volunteers who are Spiritist ministers and mediums come in to get rid of negative spirits from people that are addicted, and they help the person to heal. And he said his brother had never taken a drink since. So Brazil has not only spiritist hospitals, they have a wonderful healing medium, probably the best in the world is in Brazil. Have you ever heard of John of God?
No.
Oh, well, I've been to see John of God in Brazil, and also I've seen him maybe 15 times in the United States. Every time he comes, I'm there. I'd like to volunteer and help out because he does such beautiful work for people free of charge in Brazil. I mean, there is a fee here because we do have to pay for him to come over. But basically, he is a person that was born with this gift of clairvoyance. And he really didn't know what a medium was until he was a young man. And he was very poor. He came from a very poor family, and he had to quit school. And to help support the family, he was a tailor. So he would go from town to town to do tailoring for people. And one day he was going from one town to another, and there was a terrible rainstorm. So he went under a bridge to get out of the rain and to keep his clothes dry. And this beautiful woman appeared. She walked in and she started talking to him. And she said she was absolutely gorgeous, and she told him that he was to be a healer, and that as long as he didn't charge, that she would help him, and that she was the Virgin Mary. And, of course, she also told him that he was a medium and he should go to a certain town and talk to the spiritist people there. And then she disappeared. He was, like, shocked. Can you imagine a teenager having that experience? But he did as he was told, and he went to the spiritist center in the next town, and they talked to him about mediumship and how you develop in a circle. So he started to work with the spiritists, and
he was immediately went into trance and was able to channel many different spirit voices came through him and spirit beings. And little by little, just like Harry Edwards, John of God's work of a spiritual healer became his main work, not tailoring. And he became very well known in Brazil up until about maybe 20 years ago. And then the program 2020 did a whole program on his healing. And he became better known in the United States. But John of God is an incredible healer. I have seen him at Omega, people that were on crutches actually walk off the stage. I've seen him depossess spirits in Brazil. And I had a dear friend, Mary, who was had asthma ever since she was a young woman in her early 20s. And every year she would have to go for a checkup to and check on her medications and be sure she's okay. Well, Mary went to Brazil with my husband, Ron, and I. And we were there for 3 weeks. And we attended we were probably there with God of God about 18 hours a week in his presence, meditating, receiving healing. And when Mary came back to Connecticut, she went for her annual checkup. The doctor took x-rays of her lungs and gave her an update. And when he came out, he had this very puzzled look on his face. And Mary's a nurse. So he said, Mary, I can't explain this, but your asthma is all gone. There's no trace of it on the x-ray. What have you been doing? And so she kind of gulped. She didn't want to sound foolish, but she's a very honest person. And she said, well, I went to see John of God in Brazil. And I think, I believe he's healed me. And of course, the doctor just shook his head in disbelief. But I think that's a good testimony on how John of God can heal people. I went to my physician for my annual checkup and it was perfect. Everything was fine, but I didn't have any major medical problems, thank goodness. But it was one of my better ones. And many people who've seen John of God have had very unusual ailments. One woman, while we were there, she came while we were having lunch to talk about her story. And she showed us her arm. It was in perfect condition, but at one point it was so badly mangled that they didn't think she'd be able to keep the arm. But John of God did healing treatment, and she was able to survive. And another gentleman from California, wonderful person, he was told by his physician that he was slowly going blind. And year after year, he'd go for his eye check. His eyes were getting worse and worse. And finally, he was told it was time for him to learn Braille, that there was no hope of him ever really being able to see. Just very little eyesight left. So he and his partner went to Brazil to see John of God. And he had several treatments with John of God. And he's not, this is like 15 years later. He has very good eyesight. He is not blind. He's able to drive again. His license was taken away at one point because he wasn't able to see. And these are wonderful, beautiful stories of spiritual healing. And John of God says that he tells us it is not him that does the work. It is the spirits. He has some wonderful, I talk about this in the book, he has some wonderful guides. Of course, being Catholic, he works with Jesus and Mother Mary, but also St. Francis. And he works with the spirit doctors. Dr. Cruz is one of his doctors that he works with, the doctor that discovered the cure for in Brazil for great illnesses. And the spirit doctors are very enthusiastic. When he was in Atlanta, I was with the volunteers, and he told the volunteers to start calling the hospitals and let them know the spirit doctors were in town and to invite the doctors to come and visit the healings. Unfortunately, we got very few physicians to come, but we did get some wonderful ministers came to observe the healings in Atlanta, so that was good. So I do talk about great healers that are alive today, not just people from the past. Like John of God is probably one of the finest healers that is alive today. And he doesn't travel as much as he used to, but last year he was at Omega, which is in upstate New York, and did like 1,500 healings in 3 days. It's amazing. He did so much work on people, and all done through prayer and what he does calls invisible healings. Invisible healings. So it's wonderful to know these things are going on in the world. today. And there are, we also, no longer does healings, but he did for many years as Father DiOrio in Worcester. A lot of people attest to his healing. So there's great things going on. And I think that often they don't get the publicity or the attention they should, but they're there. And for people that are interested, I would recommend, I hope you'll read my book when it comes out the fall, Healing with Spirit, but also to Google John of God and learn more and more about this wonderful healer as well.
Now there's also Qigong healing, which is very interesting.
Who's that?
Qigong.
Qigong Xavier?
Healing.
Oh, Qigong. Oh, yes. That's wonderful, too. It's great. And another thing that's becoming more popular is shamanic healing. Dr. Alberto Bellotto wrote a great book for those who are interested in shamanic healing. It's called Shaman, Healer, Sage. And he is a medical anthropologist, PhD, that went to the Andes, Peru, to study with the indigenous people their methods of healing. And they have incredible methods of healing using extractions, hands-on healing, the powerful healing of spirit entities, which we in the West don't always give credit to. So these things are becoming more popular. I think that's great. Have you ever gone to a shamanic service with the drumming and all that?
I haven't done that. I have witnessed Qigong healing at a Whole Life Expo, and it was absolutely fascinating to watch how they do the process, which seems to be similar to what you're talking about, the electric field around the body, where they will simply just wipe it away.
Yes. Yes, I bet it was. I bet you felt wonderful afterwards.
You know,
I
witnessed it. I didn't participate in it, but it was a fascinating process to see what was blocking the person or what was blocking their energy. And in this one case, it was a gentleman, and he would stand there and he would have them hold their hand out, and then he would press down and to say, like, mother, mother, mother. And it was the mother who was causing the problems. So when he wiped away the energy, when he says, mother, now try not to let me push your hand down, the guy could, you know, hold the hand up. It's fascinating.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Dr. Bellotto tells a very interesting story in his lecture. When he first wrote the book, Shaman, Healer, Sage, he was a little understandably nervous because he had to fly into New York and do like a 3-minute presentation for the publishers or whatever. And, you know, before he got up there, the head of the publishing company said, before we introduce Dr. Bellotto, I have a story to tell you. So they're all very interested. And he said, most of you know that at one time I had a problem with alcoholism. But fortunately, I am completely sober and have been for a few years now, but I never told you how I became sober. So everyone's listening. And he said, I went to see a shaman in a certain section of New York. I was skeptical, but I was willing to try anything to get rid of this problem because it was affecting my work and my home life. And the woman did some work with me, some shamanic work with me, extractions and healing. And he says, I don't know what she did, but when I left there, I had never have had a desire for a drink since. So, of course, Alberto was, everyone wanted to listen to what he had to say about shamanism after that introduction. And Alberto wasn't quite sure what the woman did. So he called her up in New York. He was in New York. And he said, what did you do? And he said, I trained you in shamanism, but do you remember this gentleman? Do you remember how you healed him? Oh, she said, yes, Alberto, I remember exactly. She said, when he was walking into my apartment, I could see there was a gentleman behind him. And I realized that gentleman was his father, who is an alcoholic, and he was attached to his son's body. So when I did the shamanic treatment, I broke the attachment. I told his father to go to the light, that he was to no longer hang around the earth plane and try to get his son to drink. And she said, it was hard. I did it, but I finally got the attachment broken. And it worked. So you never know. We talked a little bit about how some addictions are caused by spirit attachment. And we have free will. We don't have to put up with it. But I think that's a good story on how shamanic healing works. And that's another aspect of the healing that I talk about in the book, about how the mediumship, the shamanism, can heal as well.
Elaine, were you saying that this person was drinking because the spirit of the person attached to him was drinking or wanted to drink?
Yes, father, wow. Yes. The father still wanted to drink, and his son didn't realize why he was drinking so heavily. It's because the father would come around, and he'd have this strong desire to drink, and it was very hard to stop.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, so it does work. So there's more out there than you realize, yeah.
I was almost thinking you were saying that he was getting drunk on his own. He wasn't physically drinking because the spirit was making him drink. I thought, is the spirit drinking and making him drunk?
They're both getting drunk. The father, or the spirit of the father, was getting drunk, and the son was getting drunk physically. Yeah.
Wow.
They say when you pass over, you're just the same way you were when you were on the earth plane. If you are a holy person and you die with God's prayers on your lips, then you go to a very holy place. If you die needing a drink or a shot of heroin, then that desire becomes very strong on the other side.
Oh, maybe if I'm lucky, I can find some astral crackerjacks on that side.
Yeah, or that's why the Buddhists, I love Buddhism. They believe when someone is dying, they send a priest to the home of the person who's ill, and they read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is a series of prayers with them. And then after the passes over for 40 days, they say prayers for the spirit person to be guided in a good direction and find peace on the eye.
Wow. Yeah,
so they teach the transition very seriously.
That is a long tunnel to take 40 days.
Well, I don't think so. I disagree. I have people come for mediumship readings. That's my main occupation. And I always tell them to wait at least a month, because for two reasons. One, the spirit might not be ready to come through right away. And second, they may still be, you know, very emotional. They may need to take a little time just to be more balanced before they come for a reading. You'd be surprised, but mostly when spirits come through after they've died, they usually come through to reassure their loved ones that they are okay. They're very concerned that people know they've made a good transition, and then they often come through if there's been unfinished business. I've had people come through to apologize who've been unfaithful mates or have been mean to their children, to say they're very sorry, they want forgiveness, because they know when they pass over they didn't do the right thing, and they often come through for unfinished business. And then they come through to help. They want to help people too. The spirit doctors are wonderful. They come through to help on this side of life too.
We had a guest who was had a book called The Fun of Dying, where she had interviewed enough people with near-death experiences and sort of a timeline of what happens. And a lot of early on after in the afterlife, you go through an orientation process of like, yes. Okay, this is your new existence. This is, got to get used to it.
Yes, you do. Arthur Ford, in one of his books, it's a very small book, he had had a near-death experience where he had a near-fatal heart attack, and it was just because a friend stopped at his apartment in Coral Gables that he survived. But while he was having this near-death experience, he went over to the other side, and he saw this long table. And Jesus was there, and different people were there, and they were talking to him, and they were showing him things that he could have done better. He called sins of omission, that he wasn't always kind to someone, or he forgot to do something, or he ignored someone. And then they showed him things in his life where he had made progress, like little kindnesses he had done for people, or thoughtfulness. And when he came back, he really realized how important it is to be aware of the need to be kind, to do small favors for people, to be alert and aware of other people, and not be so quick to be on our merry way. It's very important. And I've read similar things in the near-death literature, that people go through a life review.
Wow. Since our time is dwindling down a little bit, I think we'll see if anybody is wanting a reading. If you would like a quick reading from Elaine, you need to take and send me your name and your phone number, because I'll have to call you in. She wants to be able to hear your voice, to talk with you, to do a quick reading. So if you'd like to do that, send it to me in a private message, not in the chat room. So you can private message me with your name and phone number, and we'll see if we can get somebody in for a quick reading. So until we get that, you can either send it to me or Ceiling Cat and Barbara, and we will get those. So, you know, how hard is it when somebody has, I would say, sickness like diabetes or other diseases? Will the spiritual healing, the spirit, help that in different ways?
Well, I think we can all improve our health through our positive thinking. Certainly, if you have a serious illness like heart disease, diabetes, cancer, it's you're going to have to take the medical route, take your medications, listen to your doctor, do everything you can to improve the physical body. But then I think we can use adjunctive therapy such as prayer healing, hands-on healing, and also things such as acupuncture and herbs can be helpful as well. And I do believe that sometimes, and I feel this is very important, and I knew President Trump mentioned this too, for people for whom the medical profession cannot help, there's no answer, there's no way they can cure the person, I think that they should be allowed to have some type of spiritual treatment, whether it's palliative or trying to cure is very important.
Or experimental. Yeah, or experimental.
That's
stuff.
Only fair. It is only fair. You never know. I had a gentleman, he was a bartender, and he had a little four-year-old girl that he just adored. He was the best dad. She was a little blonde, curly-haired girl, and she had a heart condition. And the doctors did not expect her to live. So I did the reading, and he asked me, he says, is there any way she can be healed? I asked the spirit doctors, and they said yes, that that he should take her to Yale New Haven Hospital, because he's in Connecticut, and see the specialist, and that there would be a doctor that would say to him, we have a treatment for your daughter, but it's experimental. It's never been done on a child before. And we would like to try it on your doctor. And I said, by all means, follow medical advice. And that was the answer. He asked, how could she be healed? What could be done? And that was the answer Spirit gave. Well, he came back about 6 months later, and he was very happy. He was really, he was down in the dumps on the head to the first reading. And the second reading, he came back, and he says, Elaine, we went to Yale New Haven Hospital. We saw the specialist. And the doctor said practically the same words that Spirit said. They said, we have a treatment. We've never used it on a child before, anyone else. It's experimental. We'd like your permission to try to use it on Daisy. Well, he gave permission, and his daughter got well for 2 or 3 years. I think it was about 3 years. She actually, they did give her more than a few months when he first came to see me. And it was wonderful, and it were very precious years for him and his wife. Unfortunately, about 3 years later, she did die. But I think the treatment the doctors gave and the spirits encouraged them to try was very important. It gave a little more time for the parents. You know, well, I think there's all kinds of things. Sometimes spirit can extend time. If it's your karma or your time to go, they may help a person live a little longer for the parents to adjust. Or in some cases, they've completely cured people. We hear all kinds of wonderful stories of people with Christian Science who have been cured, for example. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's important. I believe very strongly that we should always have hope. I believe in miracles. I think to the very last breath we take, we should have a sense of faith and hope. And realize that when we do pass over, we are going to a world that is very much like the one we're living in, but which has a much higher understanding. And one of the things I do pray a lot for is people that have suicidal thoughts, because I think it's very sad for someone to even think like that, never mind to complete a suicide.
But some of my clients have had relatives who have had died through suicide. And, you know, when I tune into them, I always get the sense that there are spirit nuns, priests, spirit doctors that are working with people with mental illness on the other side to help them adjust. And they are not judged. They are not put down. They are not treated in a cruel manner. They are treated with compassion. And I think people that do suffer from mental illness should be treated with great compassion. So the spirit world is a finer and a higher world than the world we live in at this time, at least.
Okay, I got a person who wants a reading, and what I'll do is I am going to call them in.
Good.
And see if we can do this here. So let me do this, and whoops. Got to do it this first.
Dialing into the Twilight Zone there.
Yeah, I got to write his number down here dialing. First.
White noise.
They're here.
Okay. Let's see if I can use this now.
Yeah. All right. We didn't talk about tone healing either.
Gonging fun too.
Yeah. All sorts of sounds that have different effects on people. Pink noise, white noise.
And you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like those Chinese.
Tape. Yeah.
I always like those Chinese singing bowls, both metal,
them.
Glass.
Yes, yes. They're wonderful.
Jeff, welcome.
Ah. Hello, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hello.
You on? You are, of course, with me and Barbara and Jeff,
hello.
And also with Elaine Kuzmeskis, who will ask you some questions and give you a quick reading.
Okay, that's terrific, Henry.
Okay, thank you, Jeff, first of all, for calling in and being a brave soul. All I need is your first name, which is Jeff, and your age, please.
That would be 64.
Wonderful. It's a great age. The first thing I feel with you, there's a gentleman here. He's got a full head of gray hair, cut rather short, and he has a gray mustache, and he looks like he has brown eyes. Would that be somebody you'd recognize from the other side?
Yes, it could be, yes.
And would it be a father, a grandfather?
It could be a brother.
All right, because he comes in first. He immediately, I'm a clairvoyant. The minute I heard your voice, he came right in the room, and he had the kindest eyes. He really did. And he wants you to know that he's all right. That's what he said. Would that make sense? He'd
yes,
suffered a while. And do you have problems in the chest? Did he have problems in the chest area?
Okay.
You can say yes or no.
I think he's taking notes.
Yes.
Yes, because that's what he's telling me. I always ask him to tell me something that I wouldn't know to be sure they're here. And he says he's no longer suffering. That's what he says. No longer suffering. And I have somebody with the name, old-fashioned name of John.
Yes.
You know who that would be?
Yes, I do.
Well, there's a lot of love with this name, a lot of positive energy. Yeah, a lot of good. I have somebody,
maybe not
somebody
so much
name.
Positive.
He might not have been a positive person, but he's sending good wishes. And I have an Art. Do you know an Art?
I'm not making the connection now, but
that's
I will
okay.
later.
You may have to go back a ways, maybe grandfather's generation. He comes in. And I also have a lady here with short. Now, I'm about 5'3". She seems that she's building up around me. She seems to be about 5'1". Older woman, probably late 70s, 80s, but very peppy, full of energy.
Yes, yes.
Would that be grandmother or mother?
Mother.
Okay, because she says, I want to come in because I should come in first. I'm the mom. And I think she was like that when she was alive. Wouldn't she be the first to greet you?
Yes, yes.
She's great, great love, enthusiasm. And even though she was older, she had tons of energy. She's does. And I think you're a lot like your mom. I do. I think you've got a lot of vital energy. And you do anything like engineering, mechanical, things like that?
Yes.
Because that's your talent. And, you know, I always say if people are in the field that is their talent, they stay with it. So
that's
very important for you. I also have somebody here, an uncle, I believe he was in the military.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes.
And I feel he was a person who was a law and order type of guy.
Yes.
And I like that. Yes. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we gotta start from doing things right and taking pride in our work. And that's how he was. If you're going to do it right. And some people might say he was critical.
Great. This is great, Elaine. It was great.
Yeah. And some people might say he was critical, but hey, he was right. That's what he's telling me. He says, I was right. He's laughing. Now he knows he could have been a little bit critical. Then there's a gentleman with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and it was unfiltered. And I thought he could...
Now that's too close. That's too good. That's too
sharp.
Yeah,
He's here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and he says he never should have smoked, but he couldn't stop. He says that's how he relaxed. That's what he says. I see it hanging out of his mouth. And, you know, we have spirit guides. Yeah, I'm glad he's here because he said he's telling me you're going to travel.
Awesome.
You're at the right age to travel, and I feel the Southwest around you.
Well, Southwest Ohio, probably, yeah.
Well, is that where you're living now, or is that where you're trying to go?
No, I'm Ohio born and raised.
Okay, because I don't like to ask questions, but wherever you are now, you're going Southwest, and I tried to place it for you. I'm going across the Rockies into Arizona, New Mexico, or Nevada area.
Whoa.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
Well,
and I don't think you're going to drive. I think you're going to fly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds exciting.
I think you should go. I mean, sometimes we think, should we go? Should we not go? I said, go ahead. It's going to be great. And it's going to be relaxing. It's not going to be one of these trips where you're exhausted.
Oh,
I have a Bill
that
here.
Wonderful.
Oh, I'm so glad. Do you know who Bill would be?
Yes.
Well, he's happy to come in. You want to tell us who Bill is?
Bill is, he's my brother. He was my older brother. He died very young. I just loved him to death. And
I'm
going to
tell you,
he wanted
to come through more than you'll ever realize. That's why you're calling me. Bill wanted you to know he's still around you. He's helping you. He's very proud of you. And he says he still enjoys sports. Do you like sports?
Yes.
He says he still enjoys sports. Yeah.
That is too close. That is too close. That's too rich. You're very, very good. You are gifted. You are gifted.
I enjoy my work. That's half the battle if you enjoy your work. But anyway, he's
wonderful.
Here. But I do feel he nudged you to call tonight because he wanted you to know he's around. He's helping you. And he says, stop worrying about your health. are you worried about a minor health condition?
Yes.
You don't have to tell me what it is. That doesn't matter. It's minor. It's good. I'm not a doctor. I do not diagnose. I tell everyone to see their doctor or follow the doctor's advice. But this is a minor condition. You've got a handle on it. You have long life. You're definitely going to see your 80s. Enjoy the years you have ahead. That's what Bill says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what Bill says.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure
I'm so happy that Henry got me to call and try this out. This really has made me very happy. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Okay. That's great. That's great to know. Okay, should I get off now?
If you have a question, you can ask a question. I give everyone one question. What would you like?
One question. Will I ever finish my third book?
I think you're a good research writer. You're doing research.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very good with that. And you know, you're getting help from the other side on this. You're getting help from an older person. I was going to say before Bill came in and got my attention, you have guides around you, and I felt two in particular. One is an American Indian guide. I think that's why you might be attracted to a trip to the Southwest. And you do a lot of walking. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So your American Indian guide.
I do a lot of walking. I surely do. That's true.
Are better off doing a walking meditation than trying to sit with incense and candles. When you are walking, you are relaxing, you're getting information, you're enjoying things, and your American Indian guide walks beside you. But you also have a researcher, an older man, and I don't know who he is, but he goes back to like the 1940s before you were born, and he's got a double-breasted suit on. You may see his picture in a book that you're researching, but he's coming in from the spirit world, and he kind of highlights what you need to know.
Oh, I'll be darned.
No, really. You are getting help with this. So when you asked about the book, I feel you should continue. I know you're. Are you between having it published by a publisher or self-publishing?
I'm self-publishing now.
I would hold off a little bit. I would try to get a publisher.
Really?
Why not?
Okay.
It's like the lottery. You don't know till you play. I would give it a shot.
Aww.
And then if you can't, then of course if you can't, you can look at some of my books as publishers.
I certainly will.
Yeah, but
I certainly will.
But I feel you should try and see if you can get a small publisher interested.
All right.
I will do that. I will do that. I think Henry's probably running out of time by now.
Just give me a topic. Maybe I can help you. What's your topic?
Ohio history.
Oh, that's perfect. Why don't you try the History Press? I just had a book published by them. And they contacted me, but it was called the Connecticut and the Golden Age of Spiritualism, and they do a fabulous job on pictures.
Really?
You're the best publisher for pictures I've ever worked with. I'm so proud of how they put the pictures together.
Oh.
Check the book out. Well, check the History Press out.
I most certainly will. I most certainly will. And thank you so much for your reading.
Okay, one more thing. They may have you take a certain angle. Be flexible. All roads lead to Rome. Be flexible.
Okay.
That's my best advice. Good luck. I'd love to hear more about your books.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
I would love to hear next time on the show. I hope you'll call in and let me know how the book is coming.
I most certainly will. And like I said, I'm going to go back and see if I can get a hold of a couple of your books because this has really been an important thing for me tonight.
Oh, thank you. They're all on Amazon, but you could just check out the publishers. They may give you a clue.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Elaine. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love it when people write about history because, you know, all of these archives and things, they should be out in the public. Unless somebody goes into those dusty bookshelves and get all the documents, we're going to lose a lot of history. So good luck to James.
Well, do you remember Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Yeah.
His books are like that.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
it's all about Ohio, and he does the illustrations.
Yeah,
and they're very reminiscent of Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah.
I hope he does lots of pictures too. I love pictures.
He's got two books out, and we had him on the show, did the first one. We're going to have him back on again sometime soon about a second book, and then he's working on a third book. So
good. I just love history books, and it's kind of fun to see the old pictures, you know, and the way people's attitudes have changed, you know.
Our time has totally run out. I need you, Elaine, to give out where people can get your book and everything real quick, like, and then stay on till after we're off. We'll talk with you for a few minutes.
Okay, I'd be glad to. Well, my website is www.theartofmediumship.com. And it's important to put the "the" in, it's theartofmediumship.com. And I have an astrology blog that I update every month. We talk about the big news, the eclipses and Mercury retrogrades going on. And also I have the person of the month. This month I did the chart of Tom Brady, the football player, New England Patriots.
Right.
Last month we did Angela Merkel's chart. So we also do a little bit of celebrities. And also I do the moon cycle. So that's a wonderful thing. And the books are listed on theartofmediumship.com, as well as all the books are available on Amazon. I recommend for the first book to read The Art of Mediumship. That gives a good overview. And then this fall, Healing with Spirit will be out, which I hope will inspire people to tune in to spiritual healing.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to be with us tonight. Unfortunately, we got to run.
Yeah,
of course. Yes.
Just stay on. We'll talk with you for a few minutes. This is Henry Foister,
and Jeffrey Gould.
And we will see you next week at the same time, everybody. So good night.
Step outside of your comfort zone. See the world with a whole new perspective. Join us and experience the unexplained on The Paranormal View.